But you would be really surprised when I bring some of the what seems like silly engagement strategies and I bring them to these older, to this heterogeneous mix of drill. Some of these strategies they have fun with and they learn.
This is Code 3, the Firefighters Podcast, hosted by award-winning journalist Scott Orr. Now, here's Scott.
That's right, and I will not let Parkinson stop me. Thank you for joining me today on another edition of Code 3. This is the show that gives you all the information on a firefighting topic you need in about 20 minutes. Let's get started. From day one in the fire service, the lecture is the standard teaching method. Sometimes it seems like fire departments must keep Microsoft in business, what with all the PowerPoint software they must be ordering, because they use it all the time. And you know the instruction, notice I didn't say learning, keeps going like this until you retire. Want to be a battalion chief? There's a lecture for that, and a PowerPoint for that. An engineer? Yep, got it covered. Captain, of course. Now, I know the fire service doesn't like change. As Chief Brunicini said, firefighters hate two things, change and the way things are now. But maybe it's time to teach differently. If you've ever lectured to a room full of millennials or Gen Z, you know they don't get much out of it. They're on their phones the whole time. Here to explore some fresh ideas for teaching is Jennifer Stanislaw. She heads up the West Salem, Oregon High School Emergency Services Program. That's right, she's teaching emergency services to high school students. She also has over 25 years' experience as a paramedic and volunteer firefighter. And Jennifer Stanislaw joins me now. Welcome to Code 3.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
It's great to have you here. Well, you're not happy about classes being taught by lecture and PowerPoint. We've all heard of death by PowerPoint, but isn't there some information that's best taught that way?
There is, and I'm not saying that there isn't a time and a place for PowerPoint. And as a matter of fact, I continue to use PowerPoint in my classwork as well. It's just that you have to give students and learners time to process the information. You have to give them time to ask questions. I do something called 10 and 2, so I lecture about 10 minutes, and then I stop and I ask them a question and have them answer that question in their notes, or it gives them a time to have a discussion about the information that we just had. And then after that 2 minutes, then I'm pretty strict on that time so we don't get distracted and we stay on track and we do give more information. It's just that that's not the only way to teach class.
Well, if everyone learns in a different way, how do we make sure that we reach everyone? I mean, some people like to take written notes, some people don't do as well with notes.
Correct. And that's why having a variety of engagement techniques and a variety of different learning methods helps those learners. If all you do is do death by PowerPoint, you're missing a good number of a variety of learners. Some students learn best by talking. And so by using techniques such as Jigsaw, where you have the students become masters in a small portion of the information, and then they go back into their groups and then they share and teach each other what they just learned, and then they take notes on that, you're putting the work back on the students. But by teaching somebody else you a little bit, you get to understand that bit of knowledge better. And in that small group setting, you also increase collaboration, you increase engagement, and you get, I believe you get a better depth of learning that way.
And what did you call that style?
It's called Jigsaw.
Jigsaw.
And there are some very wonderful YouTube videos on it. It's called the Jigsaw Technique, and you can use it for a variety of lessons.
So do you like that as opposed to other techniques? I mean, to me, it seems like it might rely too much on the student to know the material.
That's part of the Jigsaw technique, is to give the student time. And then there's also a check-in process where the students who in the Jigsaw who are learning that small piece of information, they come meet with the instructor to confirm that they have all of the information that they want to pass along. And then you do that with each individual group and then you separate them back out so that each group has one person from each of the Jigsaw to complete that big puzzle. So there, it isn't just go and learn group project. It is where you just do have to do a small check-in, and it doesn't have to take very long. I often use it when giving an example with my EMT class. I often use it with medication dosages. Okay, we're going to be studying, you know, nitroglycerin today. So one group is going to be indications, one group is going to be contraindications, one that is going to be dosages and that kind of thing. And so we meet with each group and so that they understand each case, and then they go back as a group and teach each other as a whole.
Do you believe that classroom lecture drives some students away?
I do. I honestly, especially if you're not careful with the use of cell phones in your educational space, and this goes for drills, this goes for adult learners as well. If all you're doing is doing, you know, PowerPoint, you're going to have some students that are in class playing on their phone. And unfortunately, that's a problem in classrooms all across America today. And they have that little, you know, dopamine thing in their pocket, and someone standing in front of a screen telling stories and lecturing is just not as entertaining as probably a TikTok video. So,
or they're texting, this guy is really lame.
Yes, exactly. So it's one of those things where you have to engage that learner. And I do something called gamification, where I embrace some technology. We often use things like Kahoot, Quizlet Live. These are interactive games where you can set them up, but it also has learning similar to like a Jeopardy style. I'll produce Jeopardy at times, but the gamification helps them, the thinking process. It helps that collaboration piece, because what we do is all about collaboration. What we do is all about teamwork, and we have to learn and help each other in that team environment. So when I use things like Quizlet Live, it's a team of three or four trying to beat another team of three or four with the concept or covering for the day. And it gets them up out of their seats. For a lot of students, and learners have other jobs. They're tired. They have other things. And if you go and just decide to do a three-hour lecture on a certain topic, you're going to lose a good number to falling asleep, to getting distracted. So having a variety of engagement techniques while you're lecturing is definitely helpful.
Would you say that it's always been this way, but the technology makes it more obvious that certain people aren't learning?
Part of that is true. I think part of that is true because how many of us got in trouble for passing notes in school? How many people have notebooks where your teacher was lecturing and you did nothing but doodle or daydream? I was famous for that. I was oftentimes bored with classes, so I would just look out the window and daydream and miss instruction. It was not, and that was several years ago. Do I think students are different now? Yes. I think technology and having cell phones at an early age have definitely changed their ability to concentrate for long periods of time, especially if they're not entertained or if they get very bored. I'm not saying there isn't a time and place for that boredom, but I think that when we want to engage and we want to learn, we have to use a variety of techniques. I have a very good friend who was an intermediate EMT who was going for his paramedic. He was an excellent EMT. He was a great provider. One of those people that the company he worked for always put him with the baby paramedics, because the company knew that this guy could handle the baby paramedics and keep the baby paramedics out of trouble. Well, he decided to go to paramedic school, but it was being taught by an older style that did not account for his learning techniques and learning style. And he had a very difficult time getting through scenarios, very difficult time getting through the written test. And he was ultimately unsuccessful to be a paramedic and ultimately left the field. And it just killed me, because he is one of the finest EMTs I've ever seen and ever worked with. But he's no longer helping people because the education system didn't account for his distinct learning style. Now, we are bemoaning the fact that many of our agencies are very homogenous, that they don't have very much diversity. Could how we teach play into that? And it could, if we change our teaching styles and teaching techniques and adding a few engagement styles and leveraging the variety of ways people learn, could we not entice a more diverse crew into our agencies to make them better? Our agencies should represent the communities that we serve. And many times in the area I live, that is not the case. And I think part, it's not all of it, but part of it might be the education piece where we need to diversify our teaching style. I think that will get more people into the business or into our field and do better and ultimately make our agencies better.
Well, that may be true, but I think there are going to be some people who are going to say that to some degree you're dumbing down the material by doing it in these ways.
I would wholly disagree that I'm dumbing down the material. I think the way, you know, bringing in different engagement strategies, bringing in engagement, bringing in classroom discussion. And when I talk about classroom discussion, I'm not talking about the teacher talking to one or two people or the instructor asking a question and only two or three people answer throughout the entire learning session. I'm talking that the students get together and discuss that material, because then not only do you have somebody that heard the material, now they're talking about the material. I had a great mentor who once told me that one who is doing the speaking is doing the learning. And being able to understand a concept, try to teach it to somebody else or discuss it with somebody else, try to get that processing in your brain out. I mean, why do teachers know the material so well? That's because we have to try to give the give whatever information we're trying to give them, but in such a way that they understand. So that takes a lot of mental processing of how am I going to say this so somebody understands? Well, that means we get the material as educators, we get that material much more in depth and complex. So if we put that onus on the student that they have to discuss it with somebody at their table group, on their shift, with their battalion, then I think they have a better, they can have a better and deeper understanding of the material.
Now on Code 3, we've discussed the fact that millennials and younger generations in general want to know why they're doing something, not just because this is how we've always done it. Do you work that into your program in some way?
Absolutely. When we talk about, for example, ventilation, we don't just say, well, we do vertical ventilation here. This is how we do horizontal ventilation. And you do it when you're instructed to or when you're given orders to do it. Instead, we go in depth about why it works, how it works, what are the theories behind it. And it's not just in lecture, but out on the drill ground, you can bring in thoughts and processes and deeper critical thinking when you're out there, when you have somebody, like when you smoke up a tower and you start doing horizontal ventilation, then you ask one or two people, tell me why this is going on. Why is it important to do this? And you get that in-depth conversation going. And if they can tell you, perfect, then you know you've met the objectives of that day.
There's always video as a training tool. It sounds good. The student actually sees the fire environment.
Mm-hmm.
What problems does video have?
Video is great if you have somebody who is knowledgeable that can help narrate and ask what's going on. Video instruction has a time and place.
What you're telling me is that if somebody is narrating it live and can answer questions live, that works better than having fully recorded things?
I think so.
All right.
I honestly think that because I'm in a college class right now, and unfortunately, I have to take it what's called asynchronously because the time of the live class meeting, I'm not able to because I'm at work. So I have to listen to the recording of the class period. And I find myself, what I'm personally listening to that, I might have questions that I'm going to have to email the instructor for, and I'm going to have to wait for the email or the email to return. With video instruction, even though it can be very in-depth, you may have people with questions that want to know why, want to know the understanding behind it. And by having somebody there that can help answer those questions, I think that makes the learning much, much deeper and keeps them more engaged. I know personally, my agency gives me, both my agencies I work for give me, you know, at the beginning of each year, there's these mandatory videos that we have to watch that we've seen every time. Bloodborne pathogens, hazardous material, you name the, you know, the alphabet classes. And the video instruction is the same thing, same video over and over. What am I really learning? I am relearning material. I am not being given continuing education material.
Well, it's
does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not even so much relearning as it is sitting through it because you already have heard it
100 times.
And so even if you could learn something from it, you're more likely to just sit there and, oh, I've seen this already. Let's move on.
Exactly.
You're teaching high school students?
I am teaching high school students, yes.
Do you think that's harder than it would be to teach older students who are, let's say, taking firefighting 1 or 2?
I don't think it's harder. I think it's different. It's easier in the fact that most of my students are of the same age. They're in that same school mindset, so that they're in that mindset of learning. That is one of the easier things. Oftentimes, because I work full-time for my school district, but I also am a part-time paramedic and a volunteer firefighter, so I have an agency where I continue to use my skills, and I go to drill there, and I find it a little difficult sometimes because you do have that wide range of people. You do have that wide range of learners. In my agency alone, we have 18-year-olds to 55-year-olds. And so if I'm teaching a part of the drill, I have to look at my engagement strategies and see which ones are going to work for, you know, the younger, middle, and older generations. And sometimes, you know, the older generations I found are okay with PowerPoint. That's how they've always been taught. That's what they're comfortable with. The younger generations can't stand it, and they play on their phone. So I think that having that heterogeneity can be a little bit more difficult, but then that's where the challenge comes in. And to me, I love a challenge. But you would be really surprised when I bring some of the what seems like silly engagement strategies and I bring them to these older, you know, to this heterogeneous mix of drill. Some of these strategies they have fun with and they learn and they can debate the younger kids and there's a good lively discussion sometimes going on. And that's where the true learning happens is when it's not the death by PowerPoint take an exam. It's when you have the students talking about it and getting up and moving and working through problems together. That's where true learning and true teamwork start.
All right, Jennifer Stanislaw, thanks for the insight. I hope we've given some instructors some new ideas they can use.
There's a million different techniques. You can video or look up on YouTube. It's called engagement strategies. You can see a million of them. Just pick one and try it. And if it doesn't work, try it again. And if it doesn't work again, then try something new. It can get overwhelming to as an instructor who's very familiar with PowerPoint to add these engagement strategies. But you'll see a greater comprehension from the students if you take a variety of techniques when you're trying to give direct instruction.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the honor.
And there is a link to more of Jennifer's ideas on our website, code3podcast.com/learning. So take a look. You may like what you see. At least it should get you thinking. All right, that's it. That's all for this edition of Code 3. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next time with more, and I hope you'll join me. I'm Scott Orr, and until then, stay safe.
To contact us, get more information on today's show, or to subscribe to the podcast, go to code3podcast.com.